Amen. Good morning, Rhema. People of God. Amen. It is a blessing to stand before you. Amen. As cold as my feet may be. Amen. I'm standing before you. Amen. If you don't see me move much, that means I've frozen. Amen. This is the last Sunday in 2017. Amen. And thank God for allowing us to see this day. Many didn't make it. However, we're here. Amen. Amen. And as we get ready to go into the new year, as we've done before in the past, we've done our 21-day fast. Amen. I pray that you are conditioned. I pray that you are conditioned because this is a serious part of our prayer life is fasting and praying. And the reason why I say that I hope that you are conditioned is because, again, if I want to go out there and run, I need to prepare myself. Okay? I need to prepare myself because if I don't, I promise you I will give up halfway through because I'm not conditioned. So you need to condition. You need to have been preparing yourself for this. And this is a serious matter that you are going into and that you are speaking to God about. Amen. So I want you all to know, starting January the 1st, we're going through our 21-day fast. Amen. You should have received some handouts. Amen. I believe the classes are staying here. We want to pray for those that are still out of town and those that are the sick and shut in. We want to pray for them. And then we want to just pray for those that's just at home. Amen. They could be here, but they just at home. Amen. TV watching. Amen. Some of them look at TV and they say, I had church today. Amen. Remember, there's a scripture that says, don't forget to assemble yourself. Amen. The household of faith. Amen. In other words, the Lord said there should be a coming together. Amen. I ain't going to beat up on nobody. I'm just praying for people to be right with God. 1 Timothy. Amen. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? I mean, I know y'all don't taste this, but this is some good tea right here. This thing keeps it warm and it keeps it nice and hot. Keep me lubricated. I may preach today. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading from the King James Version. If you're there, can you say amen? Amen. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Amen. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and variety. Sorry. I think I may need some glasses. My vision is really hurting me right now. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. For the reading of God's words. Amen. Amen. What I want to focus on this morning is still on prayer. And the reason why is because prayer is very powerful tool that God has given us. And it makes no sense in, I would say, a person trying to build a house and they have a hammer and they won't use a hammer. A very powerful tool to help you build that house, but yet you won't use it. What I want you to understand is that prayer is very powerful for us, and we need to use prayer. And we need to be united in prayer, one mind on one accord. What Paul is saying to young Timothy is that the church needs to be a praying place. Prayer is a strategic element of the life of the church. A church that is not praying is basically a social group. That's pretty much what you are. The lifting up of holy hands was really symbolic and was really the same thing that we teach our children, or we teach people to put your hands together when you pray. It was really a symbol of holiness and basically of joining of hands. The position of hands were really symbolic and purity. Paul is also urging and telling Timothy to basically man up, be strong. The exhortation here is to be like Moses. When it says lift up holy hands, you remember in Exodus chapter 17 when the battle of the Amalekites, Moses was standing up there and he had his hands lifted up high. And when his hands started to go down, the Israelites started to lose the battle. And then until Aaron and Hur came, and they sat Moses down on the stone, and they lifted up his hands. And they began to win the battle again, and they did that until sunset. And basically, that was lifting up holy hands to God. It was symbolic because we need to understand that it is not us that is doing it. It is God that is doing it. We are just used as a vessel. And God is no different than you see someone playing the instrument. You know, the person who's doing it, we need to understand that God is the one that is using us to get his job done. Think of the high calling of fatherhood. According to the Bible, it is the men of the family in particular who within their households are called to be prophets and kings and priests to God. And what I'm saying is I want men everywhere to be lifting up holy hands to God. Consider the patriarch Job, who prayed. And men, we need to be praying. Job prayed for his children, offered sacrifices just in case they did something wrong. And man, he was basically sending up prayers on behalf of his children in case they sinned against God. Job was a praying man, so he was actually offering up prayer. And what I'm trying to basically teach this morning is that we men need to be men of prayer. Amen. And we need to be praying, being the leaders of our home. Daniel had a life of prayer. Amen. He prayed 3 times a day. He was certainly a man that you couldn't stop him from praying to God. Amen. He was such a great man of prayer that he was arrested for praying. And if you look in Daniel chapter 6, and it says, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." In other words, several days. If you were arrested for being a person of prayer, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Amen. Would there be enough evidence to convict you of praying? Daniel prayed when it was against the law. He prayed, even when it was against the law. Everybody knew Daniel was a praying man. Even Daniel's enemies knew he was a praying man. The question is, does anybody know that you are a praying man or a praying woman? I mean, do they know that? Is there any evidence? Is there any signs that you are a prayer warrior? To the men, if we are going to be men who release the power that God has deposited within us, we must be men who distinguish ourselves from the ordinary men, and men who distinguish ourselves from men who are not able or not willing to fight the spiritual warfare in which we are engaged. We must distinguish ourselves from ourselves by becoming praying men. We need to be praying men. God is calling us to be praying men. Men who pray without ceasing, pray without wrath or dallying, pray with a fervent spirit, and pray with faith. We need to be on our knees praying to God. Our nation, our community, our churches, and our families are in desperate need of praying men. Daniel was committed to prayer. How committed was he? After he knew that the law against praying to God was signed and put into effect, he continued to pray just as he already was doing. So rather than most, you know how things go into law, and when something happens, you see people want to march, right? Well, what Daniel did, rather than stage a protest, he began to pray some more. Prayer was an expression of his personal devotion to the dependency upon the Almighty God. That's who he was dependent on. Not any of these lawmakers, not in these police officers, not in these mayors and the court system. He was dependent upon God to move on his behalf. Daniel had been loyal to the King Darius, but he had a higher loyalty to God. Daniel devoted specific time for prayer. There was a consistency in his prayer life, 3 times a day. Jesus taught that we should always pray and not give up. Paul said that we are to pray without ceasing. Paul is saying, if you look at the verses, he said, "I desire that men pray." Notice that he was saying pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. I remember when I was a child, when I was a youngster growing up, they was talking about taking prayer out of school. When I was like, you take prayer out of school, to me, it really didn't make sense because I said, how can you stop me from praying? When I'm sitting there, I could be praying. How would you know this? Take prayer out of school? No. Here's what I'm going to say. Is it taking a prayer out of you? Because you can still pray. The Apostle Paul at this point in his life was an aged man full of experience and wisdom. He was writing particularly to Timothy, a young pastor, in this epistles. Timothy was facing a heavy burden of leading the church. This was a challenge of a task of a young man. More like myself, I was reading this. Given the society and the culture and what we're living in, the condition of the church. And Ephesus was a major city in an ancient world. It was a city considered to be a leading center of commerce and travel. Basically, what Paul was saying is that things are starting to change now. Things are starting to go on. And he's saying to Timothy, hey, man, I need you to man up and be a man and lead the congregation. That's one of the things that I see lacking in society is men manning up. Because of the cultural corruption, the Apostle Paul charged Timothy to be strong. Be a man. Because in his wisdom, Paul understood that Ephesus needed a strong presence of authority and power within the secular society and in the Christian community. So just because, you know, I may be strong here speaking to you, I also need to be strong when I leave this church building. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I can sit here and I can get some amens out of you. I can get you to shout. I can get you to do all that. But brother, when I leave these doors, there ain't nobody going to be shouting. And ain't nobody going to be amen to me. But I still have to man up and know what God said and stay true to his word. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, man, you ain't going to, in other words, everybody ain't going to be saying amen with you. Everybody ain't going to be shouting with you. So you're going to face some people that's going to be ready to kill you. So he's telling him, get it together, man up, be tough. He urged him, fight the good fight of faith. Paul charged Timothy to endure hardship like a good soldier and keep that which is committed unto God. Let me tell you something. We need to be strong. We need to be strong. Our society, our nation, our community, our families, and certainly our churches today are in need of these type of men. Being strong. Men who will stand and fight the good fight of faith. Men who will endure hardship, hard times, like a soldier. Understand this. Every day is not going to be good. There's going to be some good days, and it's going to be some bad days. But God is still telling us to man up. Men who will be faithful to keep that which has been passed down to us, the faith, the sound, solid doctrine of the Bible, the church, the family, the society needs godly men who are willing to be made in the image of their creator. Our families are being destroyed today because of the things, not because the things we are seeing happening in the secular society, but we are being destroyed primarily because we are lacking men as leaders in our homes. That's where it starts. Be a man at home. Be a man in the community. You understand what I'm saying? Be there for your children. Be there. I'm not beating up on the men. I'm just preaching what God gave to me to preach on. Amen? That's all I'm doing. It's going to come either way. We are lacking men as leaders in our schools and in our community and in our churches. We're lacking. And not just men, but I'm talking about distinguished men. dignified in conduct or appearance. Amen? I mean, when you walk, they understand that there's a gentleman right there. You understand what I'm saying? This is what our society is lacking. We don't need a male chauvinist. Amen? We don't need that. We need godly men, able men, praying men. We have a lot of frustrated men in society. Men that are angry, some lifeless, some bored, some absent in their position. Our society is trying to create an image that men are supposed to be passive. Y'all ever watch the commercials? I know you do because you have a TV in your home. If you don't have a TV in your home, I know you ain't watching a commercial. But when you watch the commercials, watch how, I'm going to tell you how Satan, y'all have to look at the trick of the enemy. Man, y'all have to look at the enemy in operation. He's very clever in what he does. If you look at the commercials, watch all the commercials. They are degrading men. I'm going to tell you something. God made man the head, okay? He anointed that position and designated that for the man. Let me tell you something. Everything that God has done, Satan wants the opposite. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God created Adam first. God ordained Adam. God anointed Adam. God put everything on Adam's responsibility. As soon as Eve was created, here comes Satan. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And immediately, man has stumbled right out of the block and getting started. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Stumbled. Why? Because the enemy does not want what God wants. The enemy wants what he wants. So when you watch the commercials degrade men. Every last one of them. It makes the man look stupid. I'm going to say it just like it is. That's my vocabulary. I'm sorry. I don't have any other. It makes us, the commercials makes us look stupid. The men. That's when I'm preaching God's word. Men are supposed to be created in the image of God, as well as women. It takes both men and women combined to create a picture of God. Each one has a definitive role assigned to them from God. This does not make one better than the other, only different. You understand what I'm saying? Just different. Okay? Christianity in America is in desperate need of godly men. We need men like Moses, Joshua, Gideon, David, Paul, Peter, John, James, Pastor Ronnie. The Bible is full of true to life stories of godly men being who they are called to be. God wants warriors in this battle for the souls of mankind. The church needs to allow God to develop godly men. Once again, we need to understand that God designed us for a purpose. We need to be men of God that he has designed. The disciples, men who left their business, left their livelihood, left their plans to follow Jesus, recognized that the one thing Jesus did that set him apart from every other man was that Jesus prayed. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, teach us how to pray. In other words, let me tell you something. Listen to what I'm telling you. God designed men to do battle with the forces of evil. Did y'all know that? Men, did you know that on the average, you're physically stronger than a woman? God designed you that way. Listen to this. Ladies, did you also know that men are more aggressive than most women? We are. We're more aggressive. I'm not saying that men are more superior. That is not what I'm saying in this message. Men are just designed differently. It won't take, for example, let me say this to you. I'm up here preaching. And if a man I don't know went and sat next to my wife, I'm going to tell you, my eyes will be rolling over there. Now, see, ladies, you all don't understand this. This is a whole different level. This is a whole different level that you won't even be able to understand. One hand, I'm up here preaching, but on the other hand, I'm like, this man is sitting next to my wife. I take some deep breaths. Because in my mind, I'm like, you too close. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We think differently. We think differently. We have an aggressive side to us. If there's a true man living in your house, when the doorbell rings, if he's still sitting there watching TV, I got to pause there. You fill in that blank. Because I know when I do a bell ring, I got this. Y'all understand what I'm saying? My kids don't even move anymore. Now, when I go over to, you know, my uncle's house and they over there, they know that we're coming to get them, so they go to the door, but they don't know, they can't distinguish that. But at our house, they'll sit there, they'll be quiet like a mouse. They wouldn't even pay no attention to it. But what I'm saying is that man, that aggressive side of him kicks in, even when he's out and about. That aggressive side of him is already, man is already thinking that. Why do you think that? Let me say this. God designed men to go out and fight battles in life so men can be the heroes of their families, to do battle with the enemy who is trying to destroy their God-ordained family. But the truth is, many men have abandoned their families and deserted them. They have run away. A large percent of all families today have no father in them. This fatherless trend family has ripple effects today on the family unit. Not being in position. They are absentee fathers, husbands, and men. One out of three children born today are born into fatherless families. Men, because of our failure, the women are on the move. And they have moved from being homemakers to women of the marketplace and the church. I have no problem with this. We have need to be aware of this because of the high demands now placed upon single mothers. The amount of praying that's now going on in the homes has been deeply considerably impacted. You know, I believe that in years past when the mother was a stay-at-home mother and the man was out working, I believe that there was more unity in the home. It looks that way to me because there was a togetherness with the home. They knew what was going on in the schools. I'm just picturing my grandmother because she was a stay-at-home mother. She was involved in a lot of things, and she was aware of what was going on, even if you think that she wasn't aware. I believe that while the stay-at-home mothers, and just me just using my mind, is that they cleaned, they prayed while they were cleaning. When they gave the children baths, they were praying. While they mopped, they prayed. Ladies, that's what God gave you. So even when you're on your jobs now that you have moved into a different role now in society because you have no man in the home or you're a single mother or what have you, you now can still pray. Just like you would pray at home, you can pray on your job. You can pray while you driving to work. You can pray while you shopping and clipping coupons and doing all that stuff, getting manicures and pedicures. You can pray for the blessing of God to be upon you. Let me tell you something, ladies. As I said, just because you don't have a man in your life does not mean that you cannot pray. Let me tell you what happens when a woman prays. They touch the heart of God. You can find support of that in the story of Hannah. Hannah moved God's hand to action. God supernaturally prepared her body, her ovaries, her eggs for an immediate pregnancy. We need to ask ourselves, what caused God to respond so quickly and so powerful? She was not embarrassed to lay it all out before God. I mean, she went in. She poured out her soul before God. She made her soul bare before God and had become so vulnerable, emotional, that Eli thought she was drunk. She went in. She moved the heart of God. She prayed. So just because there is no husband, no one in the house, no man figure, ladies, you can still pray to God. Prayer is the mightiest agent to advance God's work. Our praying hearts and hands can do God's work. Prayer succeeds when all else fails. Ladies, let me say this to you. You, as I said about the aggressive side of men, you notice, I know when I was growing up, as guys, as boys, we played rough. And when I say play rough, I mean we like punched each other for fun. I mean we punched each other for fun. And if you was a guy that didn't hit hard, we called you a name. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You were called a name. Because we, in other words, we want to feel the sick as it may sound, we wanted to feel the pain. We wanted to see what you was working with. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that me and the boys, we play like war stuff. You know, as let me say this. You know, when I'm sitting down watching TV, I'm like, you know, my wife and I want to watch war movies. I want to watch some action pack. I don't want to watch no sentimental love I don't want to watch that. I mean, that's the way we are designed. We are designed differently. I sit there, I'm going to tell you. Well, you know, my wife, she'll tell you anyway. I fall asleep. I'm good for probably one good movie. But my point is, you put it on the love story. But put it on some action pack. I'm talking about some fists flying. I'm talking about some beating up, some all that kind of stuff. I'm like this with my big eyes. I mean, that it's like a stimulant to us. Y'all men, y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. You see what I'm saying? Even at a young age, that's not this wasn't rehearsed. This is at a young age. This is the way we are wired. We are wired for action. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's why you see a lot of guys like hunting and fishing and outdoor stuff, you know. Then you don't see them like in the house, you know, like Jacob. I mean, I'm just saying. Some of y'all just catching on to what I just said. But you don't see them. We're more like the Esau. We know we're out. The hunting and, you know, or out just it being outdoors. To me, I love being outside. You know, my wife said, are you done playing outside? She go in on me, y'all. I'm out there minding my business, trying to beautify the yard and make everything look nice. All I get when I come in sweating, I don't get offered a glass of water or anything. Sweat pouring down, you done playing outside? Baby, I'm about to die of thirst. Can I get some water? And walks. I'm sitting there going like, I get it myself. Out of breath and everything. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But we like to be outdoors. My brother here, his office is his garage. That's where, if I go over to his house, he's going to be in his office. Sometimes he'd be out there. Oh, I'm preaching about you. I'm just telling you. He's surrounded around tools. That's the way we are. I mean, he's not, you know. My wife read this book. She read this book in the house, and it made her cry. So she's like crying. So she's like, oh, it just touched my heart. It just my baby. So she said, read this book. You got to read it. So I read it. Passed the first page, second page. My wife looking at me. I'm third page. Man, I'm getting into this book, right? And she was crying, right? I'm like, okay. And I handed it to her. She's like, that didn't make you cry? I'm like, no, I just read the story. And she's like, oh. She was done with me. But my point is, we are wired differently. I read the story about the boy, the mother and her son and the mother. I read that, but it didn't get me like this. And it didn't do that for me. But it did it for her. Y'all see what I'm saying? We are wired differently. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just trying to get you to understand how differently we are. What God put in us, something a little different. And he put something in you a little different. But what I'm saying is that we need to come together collectively, because we all represent Christ. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We are created in his image. What God is basically saying is, when he referred to the men, he's showing you his tough side. And then when he referred to the women, he's basically showing, letting you understand that he also have a loving, caring, emotional side. That he loves his people. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now you combine that together. We are created in his image. Y'all follow me? We are the makeup of Christ. We are joined together. Men, we need to be united in prayer. Prayer has won great victories and rescued people. Notable triumphs. God, people. God wants the men in this world to do their part and defeat the bears and the lions that threaten safety of their family. Men who know how to use this weapon of prayer are God's best soldiers. You find a praying man, you have a good soldier in God's army. Somebody who's not afraid to pray. Somebody who's not afraid to lift up their voices to heaven. If you strip Moses of his power in prayer, Moses has nothing. Moses has nothing. If you strip him of that, Moses has nothing. Nothing. You strip Elijah of praying, the Jordan River would never have yielded to the stroke of his mantle. Y'all understand that? You take that prayer away from praying men, they have literally nothing. They were leaders for God because they were mighty in prayer. They were not leaders because of their brilliance. They were leaders because they were mighty in prayer. They knew how to get a word to God. They knew how to move the hand of God. They knew how to get God's attention. Praying men are not just men who say prayers or men who pray by habit. Praying men are men with whom prayer is a mighty force. An energy that moves heaven and pours unto treasures of good on the earth. Praying men are the men who spend much time with God. Praying men always feel a great need and desire to be alone with God. Though they're very busy, but they always spend time with God. So while I'm out there cutting grass, my wife thinks I'm spending time with the yard. But I'm literally spending time with God by myself. I'm so tuned. I'm telling you, I was so zoned out. I had a neighbor across the street calling my name. I didn't hear her until the third time. And she stood there and she was calling me. And then all of a sudden I looked and she waved at me and I waved back at her. Because I was so zoned out when I'm out there in the yard. That only thing I'm out there, I'm just in tune to God. And my messages are coming to me while I'm out there working. It's something about maybe I can relate to that by Adam in the garden. You're out there working and doing God's work, getting your hands dirty, doing the things that we are designed to do, and I'm making a connection. You understand what I'm saying? I'm making a connection. And so what I'm saying is that men, we need to make a connection with God in our prayer life, in our walk with God. We ought to be like Gideon, who was willing, after catching a vision of God, to take on the enemy and deliver the people of God. We ought to take on the one who is trying to steal, kill, and destroy each and every one who's trying to destroy our families. We need to be out front, on the front line, protecting our families. We are God's mighty warriors. Why mighty? Because God is mighty. So that makes you mighty too. That's why God said, mighty man of valor. Because basically God was basically calling himself. We are who God is. If God said he's mighty, then that makes us mighty too. Because we are with him. And with God, that is the majority. Me and you are designed by God to make a difference in this world. Listen to how God used men in the past. The human race began with the man, Adam. The covenant of the testament was given to a man, Abraham. The 12 tribes of the nation of Israel began with a man, Jacob. The redemption of Israel was delivered through a man, Moses. The occupation of the promised land was led by a man, Joshua. The royal prototype of the Messiah was a man. The savior of the world came as a man named Jesus. Jesus began his ministry and founded his church with a gathering of 12 disciples. Men have been designed to fight battles. I remember when we were coming from Florida and I was pumping gas. My wife was in the car, and you know, it's kind of funny when you hear the doors lock, you know. Wife locked the doors and I go to, you know, to the door and the doors are locked and it was so funny. I said, why you locked the doors? And I'm like, I'm standing right here. And my wife said, that man right there looked kind of creepy. And I looked at her. I said, you ain't got to worry about him. I said, I'll take care of that. I said, before it even happens. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, ladies. It made me feel good when my wife looked at me and smiled. Because you know what that did to me? It gave me a bigger ego now. It does something to a man's heart when their wife can turn to them and smile in appreciation, knowing that they will be protected. Because that's what a woman wants. A woman wants to feel secure and protected. I told this before. I said a woman like to be held. She's like a telephone. Telephone like to be held, like to be talked to. I said, you know, I mean, that's just it. I said, and then some women's like, what you mean we like to be like a telephone? I said, listen. It's another thing. Women be jumping out. I said, listen. I said, women are like telephones. They like to be held. They like to be talked to. I said, but if you push the wrong buttons, you will get disconnected. And then that's when they said, oh, yeah, you sure right. Oh, hush. Now all of a sudden I'm right. Before, what you mean? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Am I right? Amen? Again, this is why I said, why you think little boys, you know, growing up, we played cops and robbers. We played war games. You know, my wife was telling me how, the people, the kids at the school, how they playing this game. That's the way that the boys are wired. They're wired to play, act out, play these rough games. They're wired this way. I mean, but it needs to be under control. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Just because you wired aggressively means that it still needs to be under control. It's kind of like, I see you over there, and I hope you see me over here. If y'all ever watched Lion Kingdom, y'all know that the alpha male gonna let that other male, I want you to understand, as long as you can hear my roar, you too close. And I'm going to tell you, this one lion kept pursuing, and this alpha male said, and I'm saying he said, but I'm looking at it. But I'm looking at it, and I'm watching this alpha male lion. He saw that the other lion outside of the tribe kept challenging him from a distance. So the alpha male just got to the point. He said, you know what? It's going down now because you're trying to challenge me. And that alpha male tore that lion up. He let him know, this is my tribe. I done told you. I done gave you a roar. You came too close. Now, since you have infiltrated across that line, now I got to get you. And he sure enough got him. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that as men, we see and we're watching. We're looking. You know, when we're walking out of the stores, we're watching, we're looking. We're on alert. That's the way we make up. That's the way we are. The Apostle Paul always used military strategy when he did his teaching. I always talk about being like a soldier, you know, being like a warrior. Basically, what he was saying is that, you know, men, you need to understand this. We are at war spiritually, whether you realize it or not, whether you honor it, recognize it, or believe it, whatever you want to use, we are at spiritual war, and I need the men to be warriors, to be up front, to be what God has designed us to be. This does not take anything away from the women. I'm just trying to get the men in line here at the church. We need to be in our position. If we are in our rightful position, you know, I use a lot of baseball analogies. My coaches always say, I need to put you, Caroline, in the right position. Once he puts you in the right position, you're ready to receive what is about to come. When the guy in the outfield was missing the balls, he said, I need to do a switch. He went out there to the umpire, I need to do a switch. He said, Caroline, you go from short to left field. Want you out there now. Because he knew that if a ball was hit, he knew I had the speed to track it down. And my mother is a witness, she saw it because she almost jumped out of the truck when I caught it. He knew that if a ball was hit, he knew that I would run it down. He put me in position. Understand what I'm saying? He put me in position. God is trying to put me in the right position. So you can be about your father's business. Jesus didn't take long to get in position. That's why he told his mother, why are you looking for me all over the place? Don't you know that I'm about my father's business? I came here for a purpose, for a reason. And it's time for me to get started. This is what God was saying. This is what God is trying to do, man. God wants us to get in position. Okay? He wants us to be what we are designed to be, out front, leading his people. Men, whether you, like I said, whether you want to believe or not, we're at war. Why do you think we, you know, let me say this, why do you think we love those James Bond movies, Indiana Jones movies? Why do you think we love that stuff? Because your nature is calling you. Men, ladies, let me say this. To a degree, men want to be put to a test. Men want to rescue their beauty. They want to win the great battles, live a great adventure, and rescue their beauty. A praying man would be, let me tell you something, a praying man would be one who is found praying everywhere and praying in all situations. How can you pray always? How can you pray without ceasing? The way you do so is begin and end your day with prayer. Every day when you get up, pray. In the afternoon, pray. Go find you some place to go and pray. Late in the evening, pray. When you go to bed, pray. Always should be praying. I've seen a bad accident. I've seen people pull over side of the road praying. Let me tell you something. God still has praying people out there. Our mindset of prayer, our attitude should be an attitude of prayer. We should be always praying and asking God to bring us together and condition our hearts and our minds to be as one. Paul says that men should pray everywhere, not just at the dinner table, not just at home, not just when he's alone, when he's in trouble, but everywhere. A praying man is a person that's praying all the time, praying in the boardroom, in the courtroom, in the hospital room, in the locker room, on the job, while driving, everywhere. I remember seeing my good friend, Pastor Terry Harris. I remember seeing him. That man was so caught up in the Lord while he was driving, he didn't even see me. He was at the light. He was praising. I was on the same station he was on. That's how I knew he was caught up, because I was reading his lips. He was so into it with God. I'm sitting up there going, bump, bump, bump. He was gone. Worshiping, praising God at the light. He ain't letting nothing stop it. I called him afterwards. I said, hey, man, did you see me? He said, no, man, where? I said, I saw you praising God at the light. He started laughing. Praise God anywhere. Regardless of where it is, pray everywhere. We need to be sending up some praises, some prayers to God. I understand that there's a lot of things going on in society, in the community. I get that. I understand that, you know, but we need to come together as a church, as a unit, and be on one mind, on one accord. That's one of the things that I've always seen and I've always read and studied in the Bible, is that it says that they were on one accord. There is a blessing being on one accord. Because I'm going to tell you something. Satan is dispatching demons all the time to attack the people of God daily, to steal, to kill, and destroy your family, your faith, and your future. With the Supreme Court of this land altering definition of families, with Planned Parenthood aborting babies, and some of the police officers making it open season on unarmed people, with more and more of our children dying every day of gang violence, we men need to be in position in the homes, in the community. This is not the time for God's men to be praying lifeless, lazy, lackadaisical, powerless prayers that don't shake them. We need men who will pray fervent prayers, red hot prayers that has the power to move themselves and the power to move demons and to move heaven, to dispatch angels to stand by our side. Praying men are men who pray with faith, knowing that when we pray, it's going to happen. When I believe it was Elijah who told the servant to keep on looking. And when he saw a cloud coming, it was the size of a man's fist. And think about it for a moment. You talking about thunder and lightning coming out of that? God has a sense of humor, y'all. It's that small, but yet has a very powerful impact. You can't tell me God don't have a sense of humor. Now, I know we like to play, but for God to send a cloud by the side, you had to know the words. God was saying, I just want to make sure you're looking. You understand? Because if he sent it big, you can say, oh, yeah, you ain't really got to look. Oh, man, there it is right there. But when you're looking and expecting, that means you are on the watch. I look at some of these. I'm a person that loves the wildlife. I look at some of these falcons, you know, in the community that I live in and out in the air. I look at them, send them high. Boy, they looking. Looking for anything that's moving on the ground. And, man, when they see it, as small as it may be, I've seen times where I went out to, you know, I'm just driving, right? And I'm going out to my mom's house. And man, I'm going to tell you, I seen this hawk swoop down. And me, I'm just driving, not even knowing that there is a snake on the other side. When I say on the other side, I'm talking about on the farmland. This hawk just came and swooped him on up and got him. And there's times where I've seen them pick up a field mice, a mouse, and just swooped them up. What I'm saying is, sitting up high, seeing something that small, that's God's creation. For God to send a cloud about the size of a man's fist, God is saying, watch as well as pray. Because he's saying, I'm going to send it to you. It ain't going to be how you expect it. But you can expect it to come. And when it come, it's going to have the potency that it needs to have. Even the size of a man's fist. You talking about thunder and lightning and rain coming out of that? You don't know the God that I serve. He can do it. So what God is saying is that he wants us to get in position. To get on our knees. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have whatever things you say. Praying men need to be praying like Jesus prayed. When Jesus said, when you pray, you can say to this mountain, be thy removed, and it shall be removed. Now listen to this. Now don't just go out there and just go and try to go up to a mountain and say, move. That's not going to happen. What is basically saying, it was an analogy of saying that if something that is prohibiting you from doing God's will, that is a mountain to you in your life, if it is in your way, you can say, be thou removed, and it will be moved. You understand what I'm saying? It will be moved. Don't go out there thinking that you can try to move that mountain just so you can see something. This is not hocus pocus stuff. This is real life things that God is saying. If anything that is prohibiting you from doing my wills, if you speak to it, it shall be removed. God is speaking to us and telling us how we should do things. Praying men, we should pray for miracles like Elijah, who prayed for it to rain. Be like Joshua, who prayed for the sun to stand still in the noonday. Now, some of y'all will get carried away with that, but it should be real, authentic prayers to God. We should pray like Jesus, who said, not my will, but let your will be done. See, sometimes we get caught up in our own selfish desires and wanting to do our own thing. But Jesus came down and he taught us how to pray. He went back to the garden of where things were messed up and he started praying to God. He said, Lord, not my will, because I know it was man's will before. But I'm telling you, not my will, but let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wanted God's will to be done. Sometimes we can get selfish in our prayers. Well, all we think about is ourselves. We don't think about anybody else, but he said, let your will be done, Lord. We need to start praying for our brothers and our sisters that are in need. that are hurting. Because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some times where you're not going to be able to open up your mouth. You know how the old folks will say, I'm glad I'm clothed in my right mind. Sometimes you're not going to even be in your right mind. You're not going to be able to think clearly. There's times that I know that I have not been able to think clearly, but I'm glad somebody open up their mouth and pray for me when I couldn't even, I was so frustrated I didn't even know how to say our Father, which are in heaven. But I know somebody who was in their right mind, who wasn't under attack, who could say a prayer for me. And the one thing about it, when they say the prayer, you should be able to feel it. Man, when you're walking, you should be able to feel the prayer hit you. Y'all need to understand this morning. Prayer is a very powerful tool that God has given us, that God wants us to use. And I'm serious about this. There should be times where I remember, it was a person, a powerful person of God who prayed. They prayed so much that prayer hit me. Hit me so much that I picked up the phone and I called them. And when I called them, I couldn't even say much to them because they started shouting. Because they knew that they prayed to God for me to call them. Yeah. I'm in the midst of my studying and I kept getting frustrated because the prayer was hitting me. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that type of power. You should feel the prayers of the righteous coming down on you. That's somebody who can get in touch with God. Know that you in God's throne room talking to God and they calling on God and God telling you, you need to call this person. And I remember to this day, I got on the phone and called that person because they were in need. That was God. That was power of prayer that reached down from heaven and grabbed me in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Grabbed me and told me, you need to see about God's child. And you need to speak a word into their life. God is saying, you can reach them. You need to talk to them. That's the power of prayer. You should be able to feel it. It should be wrapped around you. That's the power of prayer. We need to get back to some. See, this is why I'm an old school person. I know I'm a young, but I got that old school mind with me. That's why I like to have old fashioned church. We got the type of church that we can do that too. We got the right kind of floor that we can do that. Amen. The foot stomping, the clapping. You know what I'm saying? You know, just pass the mic around. We got that type of church that we can have good old, just, you know, when you come in, we just start having church. We don't have to wait for a certain order to come. We don't have to wait for the praise team to get up here. We don't have to wait for the deacons to come. We can just have some good old-fashioned church where you know you've been going through all week. You know you've been hurting all week. You come in starting. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You come in starting. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I believe it was Willie Mays. He was a Hall of Fame ball player. He would say to his coach, he said, what do you want me? You want me to lead off to get it started? Do you want me to bat second? Do you want me to bat third? Or do you want me to bat fourth to clean it up? He was basically saying, put me anywhere. He said, I'll give you what you want. That's the attitude that we need to have, because my coach did me the same way. He will put me lead off, second, third, or fourth, anywhere you put me. He knows that I can get it started. That's what we need. We're going into a new year. Praise God. Pray to God that we make it over. We're here in the last day of the year, embarking upon a new year, a new beginning. We need to get ourselves together. If you're not right, you need to get right. Because midnight, pray to God that you cross over into 2018. Or will you still be stuck in 2017? But we need to be united together as a church. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about East Coast, West Coast. It's not about men or women. It's about God. My message is about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what my message is about. It ain't about this person and about that person. But if it hits you, you got to blame God. Just talk to God about it. I'm just a messenger. Messengers shouldn't get killed. We just delivering a message. Anybody mess with the postman when he coming? No, because he may be delivering your blessing. You don't mess with the postman. What I want you to do, I want us to be the church that was in the Bible. When they started, they were united in prayer. When their brothers and sisters were in trouble, man, it didn't take much for them to get together and pray. Prayer got them out of jail. Prayer kept them around just a little while longer. Prayer delivered them from sickness, from disease. It delivered them from all kind of stuff because they were united as one. And all that is saying is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one. That's what God wants us to be, one. Here on earth, us united.